The telephone number is 786-456-4837 if you want to talk to Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. If you have any animal-related questions, 786-456-4837. Let's get to as many as we can quickly because it's a very popular segment. Damon, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Damon.
Yeah, I have a terrier who watches TV. Now, if I'm watching sports, he's bored. But if there's animals, he'll bark and run at the TV and bark. Now, my girlfriend's dog doesn't even see the TV. Why is it that my dog can watch TV?
You know, dogs are as different as people are. Some dogs take their one thing, some dogs take their other things. Now, terriers, as a breed, are very inquisitive, very high-energy dogs. So, you know, you're probably getting a quicker reaction. I don't know what kind of dog your wife has, but that terrier breed, generally speaking, terrier breeds are very active, very high-strung. So he's probably seeing something that he recognizes there as something. There's a trigger there that obviously is getting him going. There are a lot of animals that respond to that.
What is the smartest of the dogs?
You know, probably a good mutt is probably the smartest of the dogs. But if I had to pick a breed, you know, for me, it's between a Labrador Retriever and a Miniature Schnauzer. Those are my two breeds that I've, God, I just had some of the greatest days of my life with and can't say enough about them.
So you're just doing that based on you loved your own animals, or there's some science behind how smart they are?
I don't have a lot of science behind when I say how smart a dog is. Generally speaking, you know, people will say things like poodles tend to be incredibly smart. There's different behaviors, different animals, and intelligence really, it depends on the individual. I mean, it's just like people, Dan. You know, you have some people that are just not the brightest bulb in the chandelier, and then you have others that are geniuses. But they're all humans. It's just individuals. But as a breed, I think I tend to look for things like schnauzers and Labradors. They're just incredible.
Speaking of not the brightest bulb in the chandelier, Chris, what do you have, Chris, for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Ron, do you think it is acceptable for somebody to tell a friend that their dog is not exactly good looking?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I wouldn't call it a horrible name or anything, but you say, listen, you know, I've seen better looking dogs. It's a nice dog, got a great personality. But if you're looking just at looks, listen, you know, there's some better looking dogs out there. Nothing against it, but, you know, I'm your friend, so I want to be honest.
Greg, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Ron, I read a very dispiriting headline that demand for cheetahs as pets is leading to their extinction. Why isn't there an international governing body with the ability to protect animals from this kind of thing?
Oh, there is. CITES, the Convention for the International Trade of Endangered Species. Unfortunately, those international laws are only as strong as the individual countries that enforce them. And in these countries, their problem with having with exporting cheetahs to places like Iran and some of the Arabian area, those North African areas, they go out and use them as hunting animals and as pets, and it's horrible, especially in Asia. In Asia, this is a huge problem. It just all goes with illegal drugs, illegal wildlife trade. There are laws to protect these animals. Unfortunately, the ability to enforce them is lax in many countries.
Mike, what did you want to ask Ron McGill?
Totally unrelated to any of the questions you've already heard in this
segment.
Good, because
they're happier, hopefully.
The Whippet, which is a part of the Greyhound family. It's a cute-looking breed, right?
The Whippet?
Yeah, the Whippet.
Yeah, absolutely. High strung, very thin, you know, needs a lot of attention, so it's a fairly delicate breed, but it's a great dog.
Roy, you're on with Ron McGill. What do you have for him?
Ron, what goes into scientifically naming an animal?
Generally speaking, the genus is something that was established long a time ago, and they tend to change them every now and then, especially like in reptiles. Herpetologists are notorious for changing names all the time. As far as the last name goes, it's usually a Latin name that has to do with something, the color of the animal, maybe the person who named the animal, you know, Ross Allen Eye. There's a snake named Ross Allen Eye, named after Ross Allen. So a lot of times that second subspecies, the species name is something that is a tribute to someone or in reference to the color or the size, you know, like, you know, Galapagos tortoises, Giochelon elephantophis, because they got elephant type feet. So it all, that second name tends to do more with either honoring somebody or what an animal looks like. The first name is usually a genus from a much bigger family.
Danny, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Hi, Ron. What's your opinion on the ethics of dog sledding, both as like a tourism attraction and also whatever productivity they have to offer?
Has dogs what? Dog what?
Dog What's sledding.
Dog sweating.
Sledding. Iditarod.
Oh, sledding. Oh, Iditarod. Yeah. You know, I got to tell you something. I have met those people who work in the Iditarod, and gosh, they really take care of those dogs. They love those dogs, and those dogs really seem to love to work. I mean, they get excited by that. You know, from the outside looking in, I would say, you know what? That's not something I would endorse. But having met these folks who take care of their dogs and the way they take care of their dogs and how healthy those dogs are, I kind of think, you know, that's something that's almost bred into their line. That's something that's part of their blood, that they love to do, and they get excited to do it. And, you know, I wish I could say otherwise, but it seems to be something that is okay. I mean, again, from the outside looking in, I would say, no, you know what, I wouldn't make a dog work that hard because it seems like so much work. But gosh, these dogs love it, and they certainly take care of those dogs.
Just like college football players. Steve, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Ron. Several years ago, I had a bat infestation removed from my attic. Are there long-term health issues I should worry about? And what is science doing to combat white nose syndrome?
Well, you know, bats are probably one of the most horribly talked about animals in the world, and so wrongly so. There's so many misconceptions. They're such important animals, huge pollinators, huge controllers of insect pests. That white nose fungus is something that's gone across the country. It's decimated huge populations. There's all kinds of scientists working on it, but I don't think anybody's come up with any kind of cure yet. They're just trying to control it. As far as them being in your attic, it's not much of a health threat. I mean, bats certainly have potential for carrying rabies, and they produce a guano that is huge. It's high in ammonia. The smell is intense, so that's going to be horrible in and of itself. So that's one reason not to have them in there. But it's not like, to me, it's worse to have an infestation of rats or mice than it is to have bats.
Stugatz, what did you want to ask Ron McGill?
Five pit bulls, Ron, against five African wild dogs, neutral field, who wins?
You know, that's a tough one, Stugatz. I would say by strength alone, it's going to be the pit bulls. But by instinct, because you know, wild dogs, painted dogs, are the greatest team players in the carnivore genus. They are team players as a team, and they're trained killers. I mean, they kill to eat. They kill. So I think as a team, if it was one-on-one, I would go with the pit bull. But at five-on-five, I'm going to go with the painted dogs.
What a great answer. It really was a great answer. Cody's got an objection to something that happened there during Iditarod. Now he's waving his hands maniacally that he doesn't have a question. Very good, Cody. Thank you for always being present for us and just doing enough to just get in the way at every turn. The orcas, yes, please keep waving your phone at me. That won't distract me at all in terms of doing the radio show.
Telling you, the Oliver Platt thing is starting to make sense, and he's starting to grow a little bit of a whiskey nose.
Yeah, he's also Oliver Fat. Can you please explain to us? Can you explain to us the orcas that were chasing after the viral video of orcas just frolicking, chasing after a boat that seemed to be moving at a very high rate of speed? Did you see this?
I did see it, and you know what? That's just it's orcas playing is exactly what they're doing. You see it done with dolphins all the time. Orcas are basically big dolphins. They're huge dolphins. These animals are so intelligent. They enjoy interacting with things around them. There probably isn't a fisherman in the world who hasn't been out here in the Gulf Stream or out in the bay and had dolphins come around all around their boats and, you know, jump around their boats. These are intelligent animals that enjoy that kind of interaction and entertainment, basically.
Did you know, put it on the poll, please, Tony, did you know that the orca is basically a giant dolphin? Is that right? Like how, I had no idea that was so.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. It's a huge dolphin.
That's crazy. All right, Ron, good talking to you. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Paid that man his money.
Chris, can you help me understand what happened with your father that segment where his only contribution is to tell me to look at my phone when I'm busy doing a radio
show? Chris has also aged tremendously during this show and also looks like Oliver Platt.
Chris, what? Stop, Greg. Stop. Please stop waving your phone at me. It doesn't mean anything. Chris, what's happening with your father there?
I mean, apparently now his cursor, like his mouse, is now not moving. It's frozen. Nothing's ever his fault. It's always the computer's fault.
I think he threw something out there about the Iditarod on the chat that he wasn't 100% certain of, and then you went to him, and he didn't want to present it to Ron because he wasn't certain if his information was right. And then the phone was him texting you that, hey, I texted you, don't go to me. That's what
well
happened.
Well said, Stugatz. I don't know what happened to you in the middle of that segment, but you sounded like an Iditarod dog dying in the middle of some
exhaustion. Well, I mean, at least someone's trying to offer up an explanation.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate that the explanation was offered up. Thank you for doing that.
Also, whatever that was, get it checked out.
I wish you had spoken it like a professional broadcaster. Cody? Stop waving a finger at me like you want to get in here, all right? Take that finger, and I'll tell you where to put it off air.
Whoa!
Stugatz, please tell the people about the sponsor. I need to stop being distracted. He just disappeared from the chat.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami-only hour and our Best of Podcast on Demand in the ESPN app, and subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcast. Greg Cody giving the Straight Talk is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Rob Schneider going to join us in 10 minutes. You mentioned our podcast network. We ask you to rate, subscribe, and review. Le Batard and Friends will be expanding August 17th. So we ask you to please support these things. Rate, subscribe, and review. The latest South Beach session is getting a lot of applause. People enjoyed a conversation with Will Kane, so you can check that out. Me, Mike, and Neil and Will Kane ended up just talking for the first time, saying hello and goodbye as his run at the network ends. And August 17th, he is replaced on our, you know, he's in, the midday is going to be Kellerman and Greenberg instead of Will Kane, who goes to Fox News. But I just heard that rejoin, Stugatz.
Yeah.
And I don't think Mike Schur would mind me telling this story, because Mike Schur has been on South Beach Sessions. He's really smart. The Good Place, Parks and Rec, he did. He was on The Office. And some of you might not know.
Hey, he wrote the single greatest article and some of the nicest things about me that anyone has ever written. In fact, I love it so much it's framed on the wall right in front of me. All of it. The entire thing. Just the nice parts about me.
It is interesting. You would love, as the author of that article, Slate Magazine, or Slate, I guess the internet is what I should say. did it used to be a magazine? I'm getting old that way. But you would love a couple of different things. One, I recently spoke to him, and he is just beside himself indignant that your personal record book is something that you still haven't done. He's convinced it would be a New York Times bestseller. Yeah. Your laziness is stupefying. You could flash your fingers at me. It's never going to happen. No, you've had meetings. It's never going to happen. But Stugatz's personal record book, he's just mortified that you haven't actually published that yet because of how easy it would be for you to make your beloved money with that book.
He's so confident of it that when I called him and asked him to be a part of the book, he rejected me. And so, you know,
want everyone else to do the work. Pay somebody to do the work who's not like at the top of the Hollywood food chain. You're asking him to do it for you. You want everyone to do your own book for you. Regardless,
we're almost done.
It's never going to get done, and it's never going to happen because Stugatz is the worst. But he is the son-in-law, or was the son-in-law, of Regis Philbin. And Regis Philbin recently passed away. But the thing that he mentioned casually that rejoin made me burst out laughing thinking of is that at his wedding, because he is the son-in-law of Regis Philbin, it was not any kind of joke. Tony Bennett came out and sang Fly Me to the Moon.
I know Cody loves
these crooners and the idea that that is something that would happen. Also, just on a whim, Neil Sedaka got up there and started.
What?
Yes. And these are the kind of old acts that Cody loves. Yes, he's giving me a thumbs up. But Regis Philbin, we did not talk about his passing, Stugatz. A record amount of time on television and one of the few people, based on watching them on television, that you absolutely felt like you knew him because he was on television so much. I don't know if you saw this with Damian Lillard and Skip Bayless. Damian Lillard is now coming after Skip Bayless, calling him a clown because Skip Bayless doesn't believe in Dame time. And Damian Lillard is saying that Skip Bayless, it's such a great argument. It is.
What a ridiculous thing to not believe in.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful that Damian Lillard is calling Skip Bayless a clown because Skip Bayless has the temerity to not believe in Dame time. But now he is saying Damian Lillard is that Skip Bayless is someone different on and off the air, which is pretty true, actually, because he's not nearly that kind of obnoxious off air. You won't find a lot of people who meet Skip Bayless, not unlike Will Cain, actually, Mike. Will Cain on this South Beach session. You will not find a lot of people who have such a big of gulf of difference between how they are. People who have worked with Skip Bayless will say the nicest things about them. How they are off air and how they are on air are two different people. You can't say that about Regis Philbin.
Yeah, we hope with this South Beach session to shed a light on a Will Cain that, it's weird, we chose now to get to know to Will Cain as he departs, but it's an interesting conversation with that context in mind because there's a lot going on. How we've done content has changed out from under us, and to have his perspective, it's an interesting conversation. I'm glad we had it.
All right, South Beach session. Rate, subscribe, and review. Rob Schneider is next. So Rob Schneider has a new comedy special, Stugatz. Nice. It is called Rob Schneider, Asian Mama, Mexican Kids, about his heritage, his own heritage. Now, he's come up through Saturday Night Live and the Sandler movies is where you might know him from. I'm sure he's totally annoyed with the number of people who are just shouting at him, you can do it.
What I'm excited about, though, is during this pandemic, there is so little in the way of new that anytime something new comes out, you get excited for it, you know?
Well, he joins us now. Let's talk to him about, first of all, just stand-up in general. So how did this thing come to be, Rob? Thank you for being on with us.
Well, you know, I was kind of hoping that I could that Netflix would give me a special, and at the same time, the whole world would be shut down, and they'd be forced in their homes, so they'd have to watch it. And I don't hope I didn't jinx the world, but that just happens to be what happened. Okay. I had nothing to do with it, Dan. Trust me.
How did it, like, I didn't know that you were doing a great deal of stand-up. Like, how did it come to be that you became a stand-up?
Well, I started out as a stand-up. Most people don't even know. That's why I wanted to do this special, you know, and I'm grateful to Netflix for giving me the opportunity. But I started out as a stand-up. I mean, literally, it was like David Spade, Chris Rock, Adam Sandler, and I were all stand-ups back in the mid-late 80s. And then by the time we had about 25 minutes, we were on Saturday Night Live. So I never went back to it, and I always envied those guys, the amazing comedians like Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle, who had that incredible killer hour. But because there's no way to do it unless you're out, you know, in those clubs and hitting it for years to get good at it. So, you know, I did a movie with a bunch of guys, and you know, Adam Sandler and David and Chris Rock, and then Chris Rock talked me into doing it again. And so I've been doing that for the last few years, and I finally, you know, I said, well, I want people to see what I'm doing. So
from that group, Rob, like, who's the naturally funniest just standing around? Not sculpted stand-up act, but the guy most likely to make everyone else lose it because everyone else says, yeah, he's the funny one.
Without question, David Spade, without a question. I mean, Adam Sandler is hilariously funny, but he picks his spots. But just hanging out with him, for sure, David Spade. In the history of Saturday Night Live, he's the funniest guy to ever hang out with, without question. I mean, if you ask anybody on that show who's the funniest guy to hang with, and they'll all tell you David Spade.
Do you do a David Spade? Because I was told...
Hey, buddy. Now, David Spade, hey, buddy. Let me tell you about David Spade, buddy. I don't care if you were like... if you were like in the Middle Ages and he dropped you off, you know, he'd be funny in any era, you know, and Adam's brilliantly funny. He would come up with stuff to make you scream laughter, and then... You know, Chris Rock has this. He'll stew on some idea, and then just break it down for you, and it's you know, blows you away with his intelligence and how brilliant he is, and how he can just kind of show the absurdity of life, and intimidating in a way, because it's just you go, man, my mind just does not work that way.
What is the best story you have for us? It's been reported that Sandler basically just goes on vacation with his buddies and you make movies. Like, you must have amazing...
Well, that's the rumor. Wouldn't you want to put that rumor out there about yourself?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
He worked his tail off, you know. You know, the idea that, like, you know, Sony Pictures or Netflix, you know, gives you $80 million or $50 million to go, okay, you guys, I'm sure you'll figure something out. Now, there's a real process that you got to go through, scripts and whatever, and make sure you write a real good one and over, and they get the notes and everything. And then only after that do you take all your friends on vacation with you and do a movie.
Rob Schneider with us here on ESPN Radio. His new stand-up special is available today on Netflix. When you were doing it, the saddest place you ever did it. Comedy, stand-up I'm talking about.
The what place? I'm sorry?
The saddest place you ever did it.
Why stand-up. Are you speaking like Yoda?
I was just talking a little sound bites there. Just, you know,
I mean, you couldn't have said, did it? What did it meant? Because it sounded like you were asking him the saddest place he's ever had sex.
That's why I clarified. That's why I clarified stand-up.
The answer is both. While I was having sex, the saddest place I ever performed. sometimes, you know, I think that would have to be, you know, sometimes I do some stuff, shows for the military, and you know, I was in right after 9/11. We all volunteered and flew over. We were in Yugoslavia.
Way to go, Guts.
And well, the former Yugoslavia, and you know, it was tough because these kids were over there, and you know, really away from their family, and they're really young. And this one kid said to me, you know, I joined the army to get a life, and then I came over here and I realized I already had one, and I can't wait to get back to it.
It is a tough room. That's a tough room. Like, Bob Saget told us the story of, like, an Alaska strip club where he came out and the woman before him was, like, had pie tins with matches lit on her chest, and he said that was sad, but that's a tough room. War areas, that can't be easy.
Yeah, it's tough, and then, you know, you realize how young a lot of these people are, and they haven't really left home a lot, and here they are, they're overseas, and they're really missing stuff. So that's important when you get over there to, you know, they really want to be close to American culture and something that reminds them of home, and they're just basically looking for a laugh and a hug, to be honest.
I was thinking like Alabama. Like, that's kind of what I was talking about.
Rob Schneider, Asian Mama.
I've had a good time in Alabama. No, come on now.
Asian Mama, Mexican Kids, if you want to check out the Netflix special. So I was not aware that you do impersonations. So, like, what are your finest impersonations? What are the ones that you're good at?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Jay Moore is the guy who broke the Christopher Walken one. You know, once you have one guy figure it out, then and it's easy. You just know the cadence and how to do it, and then... You can do his voice like that, you know.
Wait a minute. Don't stop doing that, though. Yes, Jay Moore does it great,
no,
but you do it well. Stugatz does not do it well. Stugatz, show him your Christopher Walken.
You can go on like YouTube now and see, like, you know, the Asian version of Christopher Walken or whatever, the East Indian version. But I used to watch, like, you know, before there were video recorders, I used to just take a cassette recorder and then you record, you know, old movies, and you know, before cable TV, you know, there was like I'd record and I'd learn every voice on Casablanca. You know, we said we'd do a great many things last night, and you said I would do the thinking from now on. But I've done a lot of thinking since, and we both know that you belong with Richard. It's part of his work. It's the thing that keeps him going. If you don't get on the plane, you know, you'll regret it. And then all the voices, and then my favorite was Peter Lorre. You know, the fat man, I need to get the papers. The fat man, I'm scared, please. I need the papers. Save me, wait. So, I want to talk like that guy, you know what I mean?
Stugatz, do you think we just nailed the 18 to 34 demo right there? Because that was amazing, but I don't think any of the people who would appreciate it are still alive.
I know. There's about eight people on Staten Island who are told to get all those voices.
Greg is one of them. You have absolutely delighted Oliver Platt. Thank you, Rob. We appreciate your time.
Happy, give my best to Oliver. I really hope he enjoys the special.
Thank you, sir. Anything else on the way out you want to tell us about the special before you get out of here?
Yeah, well, thank you. I know, I just, you know, I want people to know that I'm a, you know, that I was a real stand-up, and that's what I do, and there's so many great ones out there, and I just want people to have a good laugh and forget all the crap that's going on in the world, and there's no politics, and just have a good one. You know what I mean? Have a good laugh with your family, and I apologize for all the swear words, and thanks, you guys, thanks for having me on today.
Thank you for being on. Are you urinating right now? Are you going? What? I'm hearing a bathroom of some sort.
I'm making my morning tea, baby.
Okay.
You gotta have it, baby, before the kids wake up and ruin everything. I'm gonna enjoy myself.
You want to have tea with us tomorrow morning as well?
Yeah, we'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll talk to you tomorrow. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Nice. Voice you want from the 30s.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
This show ain't free. Time for some ads.
You mother bleepers underestimated us. You thought that was going to be bad. You thought it was going to be bad. You were rooting for it to be bad. Bleep off. I can feel you on my neck. Is Rob Schneider going to be on? Why? Really? Rob Schneider? Because he's going to give you some Bogart. 18 to 34. Going to eat some Casablanca.
Whose voice is that? 18 I don't to 34?
I'm just yelling at 18 to 34. You underestimated us, and look, we gave you Rob Schneider. And tomorrow you'll get more Rob Schneider.
Yeah! ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. The Dan Le Batard Show is brought to you by 303 Protectant. 303 Protectants and Cleaners keep your car looking new longer.
Let's go ahead and read the polls, Stugatz. We got a lot of them today at Le Batard Show, and we'll be able to get Cody on the Hard Network out anyway because he doesn't understand that we've got a post show after this, and we can trick him by not knowing when the end of the show is. Let's update the polls, and then we'll go straight to Cody and get him on the Hard Network out.
Twitter poll is brought to you by 303 Protectant. We're just telling them now. 303 Protectants and Cleaners keep your car looking new longer. At Le Batard Show on Twitter, as I scroll over to that page, Dan, I apologize. So you just got to give me a second, maybe filibuster or whatever you want.
Oh, great. Tuesdays aren't hard enough with Greg Cody. Now I've got to wait for you, too, because you don't know that we end the show every single time
Not
with
every
the polls,
Tuesday.
And it's your job, and apologize. I've got to figure out what to do, even though I sent you the text note going to stew on the polls here, but you don't read well, so there's that problem.
Yeah, I didn't get that. Whatever happened to the salad diet at Le Batard Show on Twitter? 50.2% of the audience said no. It's a good question.
That's not a yes or no
question. Is 103 too old to be getting your first tattoo? 51% of the audience said no. Is Ricky Henderson the greatest baseball player of all time? I think he is. We didn't go back and revisit those numbers, but that's what we have tomorrow.
We'll ask Kirkjian.
Yep. Or Rob Schneider. I mean, 75% of the audience said, no, he's not.
Schneider was good. And Schneider has access to like a golden age of comedy. If we get in good with that guy, we will get some good Hollywood stories about David Spade, ladies man, well-endowed ladies man of repute, of great repute in Hollywood, if we cultivate that friendship.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Is Greg Cody an albatross that weighs as much as an anchor around the neck of this show?
You're shaking your head no about Cody. You'd look like Oliver Platt's grandfather, and you were a disaster today. Up and down disaster.
Well, I did have a bad first hour, I'll give you that.
The last hour was pretty bad too. You haven't given us a whole lot in the last hour.
Let's be honest, you had a good 7 minutes.
You did back in my day. That was pretty good, and we talked about your podcast, so you're just happy that you were on the show today.
You're welcome.
It really shows the importance of doing a regular back in my day, because it could save a performance like that.
Yes, it did. You're right, Mike. Well, to answer that question, Greg, 91% of the audience said yes. You're an albatross that weighs as much as an anchor around the neck of this ship. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
You got it. Is Kyle Kuzma an NBA player or an IG model? 68% of the audience, Mike, said an IG model.
I'm sure he doesn't even know.
I'm guessing he would vote Instagram model.
Has the sandwich gotten away from us? That was when Greg was good. That was his back in my day. 75% of the audience said, yes, it's gotten away from us.
Well, that one's interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, Cody snuck in there, and it was an exceptional one, by the way. His back in my day is great. As good a one as he has had in a really long time. But he just threw in the conversation gratuitously about whether a hot dog is a sandwich or not. And he just smeared the inventor of the sandwich with a Wikipedia reading on the history of the inventor of the sandwich that was, it was vicious. It was cruel.
Every bit of it true.
These days, do you long for, are the Utes for real more than you long for your wife? 60% of the audience said yes.
Cody, all your college football thoughts here.
Well,
you're listening to Dan, Stu, and Cody on ESPN Radio.
All right, the first thing we have to get to in today's post show is we had many technical issues today with Greg Cody and his computer. Now, Greg, the father of mine, person that I love, how did you have so many issues today with your computer when you just got a new computer less than a month ago?
Yeah, this is a brand new computer. You know, they're all disparate. There's not a line that equals them all. They're different. You know, once my cursor freezes, so I have to reboot the computer. That happened. The other time I lost the sound at one point. I have no idea why. You know, there's just gremlins in the room. It's related to the virus we're all dealing with, I think.
Chris, I would say, though, when you're so accustomed to a Macintosh, okay, and you get a new computer.
No one calls it a Macintosh or a hat. Listen,
I just love that Stu Gatz was about to give a lesson and he was waving his sausage fingers and he said basically the only thing that could have made him sound more decrepit than our broken down Oliver Platt.
Well, I was purposely doing it because when you've spent your entire life on the typewriter, then the Smith and Corona, and then the Macintosh, a new computer, like a 2020 computer, can be very daunting at the beginning. And so it might take Greg a minute here to A, learn how to use it, B, not have it be something.
I mean, that is quite the gulf between the Macintosh and whatever he has now. I got to imagine there was a stopgap or two.
Stugatz, why are you speaking with such authority on all things Greg Cody? Like, I don't understand. You don't know anything, and all you've been doing for the last 60 seconds is just not wanting us to mock you about that Macintosh shit.
I thought it was a funny joke, the Macintosh. I mean, I really did. You just weren't paying attention. It's post-show. You're tired. I get it. You got a TV show to look forward to. You aren't really, you know, going with the flow. Again, I'll remind you, this is coming from the man that had Delaware's own Dante DiVincenzo growing up in Yugoslavia yesterday.
What are you laughing at, Chris? What are you laughing at? Just the way that he's just firing things in every direction because he's shitty? Because he's bad at radio, now he's just firing things in every direction?
I feel like he's going to hold on to that mistake you made yesterday for a long time.
That's the thing often. I mean, I got it.
Heaven forbid he goes on a TJ Warren-like run the remainder of this bubble. It'll haunt him the entire time. We have to talk about how good Greg's back in my day was. If you haven't listened to that and you're just giving the post show a try, by all means, go back and check that out because it was a stellar effort from you, Greg. Please give us more.
Wow, I appreciate that. I'm not used to a compliment on this show, so that really sinks in.
I mean, all you have to do is what you're supposed to do.
It's tough, though. That's a high bar.
It is. It, honest
like
to God.
Olympic high jumper.
Listen,
here.
Listen to this. People think, okay, people think, this has been the amazing thing about the total precipitous descent of Greg Cody into senility. Like, this is what's wonderful about this. None of this is an act. He's legitimately this terrible. I just walked him into the hard network out. He was talking for 30 seconds after that because I told you 3 minutes earlier, we're going to walk him into the hard network out. My hard network out was this terrible. Greg Cody, college football, all your thoughts. I couldn't have made it any more obvious. And he walked right into it. Chris, you're routinely embarrassed by your father, and you should be. How do you feel about his general performance today? Because the back in my day was extraordinary, and everything else was a mountain of shit.
But he wins. But he wins because the audience is laughing. In all the moments that he was shit, when his microphone wasn't working, when he stopped hearing us, that's funny to the audience. So like always, Dan, with you and going against Stugatz and my dad, you lose, they win.
I've often said there is no greater place, and I've done it for 17 years, no greater seat than the seat next to Dan Levitore. I mean, you come out.
I'm always the asshole. Yeah. Like, honest to God, all you're asking from Greg there is honestly bare minimum competence from someone who's a normal human being, and he can't give it to you. He can't. It's not a radio professional. I'm telling you, Stugatz, we could train a monkey to make fewer mistakes. I'm not even joking.
I want to get Disney to commission an IT to sit next to me during all the shows so that a professional can handle glitches.
During a pandemic, no problem there.
Because you're so good that we need to make those special accommodations you as a show can't get a person to put us on television nationally in Bristol. But you should get your personal IT guy so you could say yes and yes in the first hour.
Let's just see if the ACC comes back.
I'm wondering, Greg, who pays for that? Who pays for that personal IT guy?
That would be Sun Belt. That would be the Sun Belt Conference that pays for that.
Anybody but me is the answer.
Also, maybe it's because I'm rusty because I haven't been here for a few weeks, but is there like an age cutoff to where like you become clear if your Zoom isn't working, you can relay that clearly? Because yesterday and today, we've just had people not be there when we've expected them to go, and you have to be paying hyper attention to just see someone walk out of the frame without any sort of heads up. We got to get better at relaying their tech issues.
Stugatz. This show started today. Like, this is the real nitty-gritty truth of doing this show with these two rodeo clowns. Lest you think that it is an act. Stugatz, the first thing you did as soon as the microphones went off today is you walked out of the screen. You left. You left the show at the moment the show was starting without giving anyone any notice on what you were doing when you know, and I've only told you for 10 years, Stugatz, I need to get the kite off the ground in the first couple of minutes of the show. Just help me get the kite off the ground and we'll be fine after that. The very first act today on a Greg Cody Tuesday that you knew would be impossible because they all are is you walking out of the Zoom screen.
Right. That's on me. I'll try to carry the computer with me anywhere I go because I couldn't hear the open. And like, imagine the disaster. If we started the show, you went to me and I couldn't hear anything. So I couldn't hear the open. And I'm only going, Dan, just so you know, moving forward here, I'm never further than 1 or 2 feet left of my computer.
Stugatz.
Dan, a tower fell and Verizon hasn't been working. That's why I had problems yesterday.
Stugatz, you're on quarantine because of a bullshit lacrosse tournament in Maryland that I didn't ask you to go to. That's why you're not doing the show here with me, because you're on quarantine.
That's a fair point. It's a totally fair point. I mean, you're right. And the bullshit thing is watching my daughter being all American. You're right. And this is why I win every day, because you're an asshole.
Earlier in the show, you also said you just learned about the heart issues, which is why you're going. If Maryland popped up this week, you wouldn't be going. That was such a load of shit from you.
Honest to God, these are the two guys every Tuesday we do the show with. It's the real thing. And I'm the asshole. Like, it's unbelievable.